Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Earthdawn Survival Guide, the podcast for all disciplines, paths, players, and game masters. With your questers, Josh and Dan, I am Dan.
I am Josh.
And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things Renelical, I've lost count at this point. We're going to talk about the Lariskova Renel, which is, I can't say native to Shosara, but it's the main Shosaran Renel. So we're going to talk about that one in the long line of our other Renel podcasts about the elves cultures. So Josh, any announcements to make about anything upcoming or any progress on any Kickstarter stuff people might not want to know about?
Nothing Earthdawn. There is a campaign that just launched Monday as we are recording this, so a little over a week ago, on the day that this episode will drop, for the next expansion for Aetherstream.
Oh, yes.
So head on over to Kickstarter, look up FASA Games, and check that out. It'll be running until like around the middle of April, I think.
Yeah.
And of course, as part of that, if you have missed out on any of the other Aetherstream stuff, you should be able to buy, as part of your backing, buy other stuff that has come out for it previously. And I know that actually just today they were uploading like a learn to play video where somebody was teaching Andy Watson, one of our folks, sort of how to play it.
Yes.
And showing off some of the things. So that's the only thing right now. We're in the middle of March. Tickets are on sale for Gen Con, like badges. They haven't opened up event tickets or anything yet.
Yeah.
But I'm running stuff there. As always, a whole bunch of FASA Games stuff will be going on at Gen Con this year.
Fair. So now everyone knows what to spend their tax return money on.
Speaking of which, I just got mine today.
Oh, you get your money back? Cool.
I am probably going to put it into work on my house.
Fair enough. I just filed mine today, so I don't know what I'm going to spend it on yet.
I file mine as soon as I get the final paperwork.
Yeah.
Which is usually the last paperwork that I get is the statements from FASA for my shares of the company and how the company did and whatnot.
Yeah, fair. No worries. Cool. So on to the Lariskova Renel. By the way, if you have any questions about what we're going to talk about tonight, please drop us a line at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. We will, of course, do an email Palooza episode when we get enough questions to answer. We can pick Josh's brain on most of those. So quick recap on the Lariskova Renel. We brought this up a little bit earlier in a previous episode dealing with Shosara. This is the Renel that was inspired by a divine vision. Nezrana led a band of elves out of Wyrmwood on a wandering journey to the north. Inspired by a divine vision of Jaspri, they braved this new path and found the beautiful yet unforgiving land that is now Shosara. And after settling in, taming the land, and working together to survive, some settlers returned to Wyrmwood and then brought back more settlers. Thus, the Lariskova Renel was formed. Ta-da! This is our quick recap of that whole episode. So if you missed that episode, go back and listen to it. And the name Shosara actually means blessing in an archaic elven language. So in case anybody was curious about what it stood for, found that one out in reading of the Elven Nations essays in this book. So to many, the Lariskova Renel and Shosara are kind of one and the same. It's the chicken and egg conundrum, which came first.
Shosara would not exist without the Lariskova Renel because they were the ones that undertook the expedition north and founded the community that grew into the city-state of Shosara as it is known today. It's certainly possible that there might have been some stuff going on up in that part of the world, but it would have looked very different had the Lariskova, the leader of that pilgrimage, not been inspired to journey north.
Exactly. I mean, Jaspri was the entire basis beyond all of this, and they really do live Jaspri's ideals. They're not quite questers, but darn, they're close. So while far from total control over the region, city, state, the Lariskova Renel is the largest single power, political power, trading power, you name it, in this area, in all of Shosara. So they are first and foremost in everybody's mind. The Lariskova Renel as a whole, as an entity, preferred diplomacy and trade to outmaneuver any opposition, any rising forces, and they try to avoid using force. At least that's the rumor going around most of the time. But when things come down to it, force almost always happens.
Yeah. That's the nature of things. You get somebody who has significant social and political power as a result of their position in society, but they also understand, if they want to maintain that position, to have some amount of physical force or threat thereof to reduce the likelihood that upstarts will try and cut their legs out from under them.
Exactly. So this entire Rennell, since they were banished from Wyrmwood, back when it was still Wyrmwood, and they created their citadel in Shosara, survived the scourge, did it well enough where they weren't breached, so yay to them. Now their entire goal, the Lariscova Rennell, that is, maybe not all of Shosara, but at least this Rennell, their goal is to unseat Wyrmwood as the head of elven culture and the elven court and move it northward into Shosara.
Yeah, and this is all the result of actually of a long, complex history between the Lariscova Rennell and the court.
What? It's complex?
Yeah, well, yeah. As we have sort of talked about multiple times, this is a major aspect of the development of the world as it exists. The, you know, Barsave and the Theron Empire all kind of emerge from the conflict that was the separation of Shosara. The fact that they had tainted the elven ship designs with input and assistance from the humans up in that area.
Mm-hmm. The Gustovans.
Yeah, but when Shosara was declared separate, quite a number of the Lariscova Rennell folks backed the court and returned to the Bloodwood. There were some that remained, but they did essentially head back to the court, and it was over the course of the next few decades that things changed. Because of the rather tyrannical rule of the queens through that time, the Lariscova attempted to undermine the queen, even to the point of it sort of almost being a coup, but failed, and were, we talked about this in the History of Shosara episode, got exiled. And so they headed north to Shosara. And so the discovery of the fate of the wood after the scourge has lit a fire under the Shosaran elves, the Lariscova Rennell in particular, because there are those among them who, in living memory, remember what the wood was like and are not particularly pleased with the apparent hypocrisy that is going on with the wood in terms of how Shosara was separated for, you know, what they had done to adapt to their environment and what the wood has become in the wake of the scourge with the ritual of thorns and everything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wouldn't be the elven court if Alatia were not being hypocritical in some way, shape, or form.
What? No. I agree. It's, that's what she does. So yeah, all of this. So the, because Shosara, sorry, I'm back up. Because Lariscova Rennell showed up and the founder Nezrana welcomed the Kestovans and other cultures outside of Wyrmwood to survive their new environment before they could actually make the kingdom and the farmlands and so forth and so on. All of that incorporation of other ideas, to Josh's point, is what led to their banishment. Well, it led to some upheaval. But yes, the banishment came when they were going to actually throw Liara's, was the word I'm looking for, favoritism back in her face and prove that she was favoring certain other Rennells where she shouldn't have been. So all the political power going on there. And so the Lariscova left all that political power behind and took it to Shosara with them and plotted the coup, the whole nine yards. And yeah, you already covered all that. Never mind. I'm skipping my notes.
Yeah.
So I'm done. So today, nowadays, the Lariscova still embrace new ventures with more speed and ambition than one would expect from a traditional elven culture, who kind of tend to take their time, deliberate, fancify things with flowery language and kind of obfuscate and pause a lot and bide some time. And we'll think about this and put it in committees and whatnot. The Lariscova actually moves a little bit faster than that. And they really are embracing funding exploration and new mining prospects as well. So they really are not just sitting on their laurels waiting for time to go by, Alachia. They are embracing continuous construction and not necessarily breaking down of traditions, but they are moving things forward and progress is being made all the time.
Right. And that's something that also plays into their desire to become the seat of elvendom by amassing wealth and political power. They would be able to leverage those things to attract the various other parts of the greater elven diaspora, mm-hmm. in Barsave in particular, but also to try and persuade some of those in the Western kingdoms around Sariatha and the other cities there to support them as the seat of elvendom and to build enough of an alliance, for lack of a better term, a coalition.
That's a good word.
Of unaffected elves, unprotected elves, as the blood elves would put it.
Yes.
To ignore the court or overthrow the court to a certain point. There is still a certain amount of essential elven culture that is a part of them, mm-hmm. that both Shosara and Sariatha don't want to just go their own way.
Yeah.
They do want to have some kind of greater legitimacy to their claim and to perhaps even leverage some of the blood elves who are less than happy with the continued practice of the Ritual of Thorns to undermine and potentially overthrow Alachia as the queen. And if they can get enough momentum behind them, even mm-hmm. her royal high and mightiness will probably have a difficult time. She won't go quietly, I'm sure, but in the end, there's only so much that she can do.
Agreed. Yeah. So when I say they move a little faster, that's compared to regular elfin speed, which there's no exact example in any literature that's published so far. So take your time with the Bloodwood court and then speed it up a little bit for the Shosaran court and knock yourself out. So your timeframes are your timeframes. So this doesn't mean, to Josh's point, that they're not tempered in maintaining elven culture. They absolutely are, but they are not so quick to allow the overthrow of tradition for innovation.
Yeah, they really are trying to find and strike a balance between the traditions of elvendom that have existed for millennia. Centuries.
Yeah.
And the obvious advantages that their partnership with the Kitsovans has provided them both before, during, and now after the Scourge. And the Lariscova, in a way, kind of act as the brakes on rampant innovation.
Mm-hmm.
They are certainly not against innovation. They have recognized, especially with the time during the Scourge, where they were all blended together in one big gigantic citadel,
yeah,
the advantages of and the strength that such diversity affords them. But at the same token, yeah, they don't want to lose their essential elvendom.
Mm-hmm.
Shosara as a whole, in compared to like other elven nations, other elven seats of power,
yeah,
is more on like the liberal forward progress, change isn't bad,
yeah,
end of things.
Mm-hmm.
Within that spectrum, the Lariscova are more on the conservative end in the sense of not wanting to be too hasty,
yeah,
and to make sure perhaps that they can justify changes or adaptations to what they deem to be elven culture within the framework of what's going on. And I think it's somewhat telling and not surprising, really, given the disparity in timeframes.
Yeah.
That it's more that the Kitsovans in the area have been more brought into elven culture.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken some influence and some ideas and knowledge from the humans, but that more of the humans, because of the shorter generations,
yes,
have assimilated more into elven culture than the elves have into human culture, even though there is still a blending and essential
give and take
growth and progress that has come out of that.
Yeah. So it's I had this idea while you were speaking, is the Larus Golden Rail is kind of like, hey, great idea. How can we make it elf?
Yes.
Or how can we put an elf spin on it?
Yeah, they are not the elfiest elves that ever elfed.
No.
But they do like to keep a little bit of elf
in a lot in of their things. Elf. Yes, in a lot of things. So this, however, since they were inspired by this vision from Jaspri, this divine vision to go wander, this makes the Lariscovan Renel natural explorers. And because while you are exploring, you have to like negotiate or barter for certain needs that you can provide and someone else may already have that you need. This also makes them kind of natural merchants as well. And a lot of adepts follow some kind of exploratory discipline. So any idea or suggestions as to what those disciplines might be other than the scout? Because that one's like Captain Obvious.
Yeah, I mean, the scout is kind of an obvious one. I imagine that you would probably see Beastmasters among those a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe warriors, but not in the like big bruiser warrior style.
Mm-hmm.
More in the tradition of the warriors that guard the queen in Bloodwood, the Exolashers.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
With an idea towards looking at like the woodsman archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably, for the ones that are a bit more combat inclined, for those who do practice multiple disciplines, I imagine scout / swordmasters or scout warriors or scout archers even.
Oh yeah, totally.
Would be pretty popular combinations. But yeah, scout and beastmaster. And then your typical like elven stuff. I imagine elementalists are probably more represented among the magicians, perhaps with shaman actually being even more common than they might be in other parts of Barsave.
Yeah, I can see.
Because
that.
Of the land's sort of much stronger and wilder magic connection. I get a feeling that that's something that would be likely as well.
I agree. And maybe a couple of weaponsmiths, just because you have to keep.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Weaponsmiths and troubadours feel to me like a given in almost any culture.
Fair.
It's the other ones that are different.
Yeah. I just wanted to give these two an honorable mention.
Right, yeah. Weaponsmiths, you're going to want. Troubadours are like an elven
bread
thing,
and
the arts and music and crafts and all of that sort of thing. I mean, those are very, like, community-centered disciplines.
Yes.
And that's a very sort of different thing in my mind.
Yeah, fair enough. Upon the founding of Shosaros, we went through a little bit of the history as to how they got there, how they kind of operate now with the Lariscovan Renel. Due to the sympathies that the Lariscovan Renel has to Thera, as far as how to operate some certain things, they're not aligned with Thera. They just understand how that city-state operates a little bit. The Lariscovan Renel was very quick to acquire the rights of protection and passage. So this led to them being very successful because they had a lot of true elements to trade, not to trade, to buy the rights of protection and passage. So this kind of led to their success and why their care was not breached. They followed the instructions.
Yeah. The other thing about the Shosaran relationship with Thera and broadly, Thera is somewhat difficult to address in a sense because of their antagonistic relationship towards Barsave, mm-hmm. but also the practice of slavery.
Yes.
And things that have happened with them in the past in terms of how they keep their empire going, which is with the significant forced labor of many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a certain amount of fraternity between Shosara and Thera in terms of their origins. Yeah. Because, of course, remember that Thera was founded because of someone exiled because they stood up against the queen over the separation.
Yeah.
And Thera, while not ever being considered an elven nation in the sense that Shosara or Sariatha,
yeah,
or some Barsavian communities would be, it is still the direct result of Shosara. And so there is a little bit of an understanding there that kind of makes them cousins, maybe, in a sense, if you want to think about
cousins.
Yeah. Thera was never separated because it was never an elven nation.
Yeah.
But also there is the history there where when Thera came forward with the rites, the queen was like, bah, we have no use for them because our elven magic is superior. And by the way, I don't want to accept anything from that's descended from the exiles and the people that I kicked out because they were mean to me once.
Yes. Because I'm egotistical and that.
And we all know how that ended up. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's the kind of situation that I see there. There is a certain practicality, I think, that sort of underlies a certain aspect of Shosaran culture, even among the Lariscova.
Yeah.
Because of needing to do, and the fact that they sort of needed to survive in a somewhat hostile environment with the assistance of locals.
Yes.
Recognizing that holding on to your pride too much is something that can get you killed.
Well, and since they clearly were banished because somebody else was holding on to their pride too much, they learned the lesson of, okay, we're not going to be that.
Well, now, there's two parts of that.
Yes.
There's the part where the Shosaran separation mm-hmm. was definitely as a result of somebody holding on to their pride too much.
Agreed.
But the exile of the Lariscova mm-hmm. post-separation, I imagine they may tell themselves that it's because somebody was holding on too much to their pride, but they also did try to overthrow the queen.
Yeah, a little bit.
They perhaps should accept a little bit of responsibility for what ended up happening there.
Again,
the drive to become the new seat of elven culture has these deep-rooted of, oh, wouldn't it just stick in her craw that
if we
the rest of the elves decided to back us
yeah.
instead of her?
Yeah, I agree.
So much of the historical landscape of Barsave and the Theron Empire is shaped because of petty squabbles.
And ego.
Family conflicts between people.
Yeah.
It's so delightfully mundane in some regards.
Yeah, it's so petty. But it's okay. It's all fiction. So I think also since the Lariscova did wander northward and have to survive, that they decided to accept new ideas because that's what kept them going. Otherwise, they would have died out. And so when the Therons came along and said, hey, by the way, this is coming. You might want to prepare for this. Here's our suggestion. Here's our layout. The Lariscova were already in the position of, well, new ideas kind of worked for us so far. Let's adopt this new idea as well.
Yeah, and the advantage that the Lariscova had with the incredibly rich magical resources that were available in the region meant that they didn't need to enslave people.
Yeah.
They didn't need to take slaves and sell them to the Theron Empire for labor or secrets or whatever. Mm-hmm. They had enough wealth that they could sort of avoid that issue, which was a big part of the squabbling nations and communities of Barsave during that same period of time, which is, again, an advantage of their geographical location. They didn't have a whole bunch of other powers in their immediate vicinity fighting over resources.
Yeah.
They had already established a good relationship with the Kestovans, which were the only other power, so to speak, in the area.
Yeah.
And so therefore had plenty of resources and an established framework for partnership and working together
mm-hmm.
rather than everyone being out for themselves and their own local thing, kind of trying to spread that to a larger idea.
Agreed. So how the Lariscova operate currently as in the current year that Earth Dawn takes place in, they spend some considerable sum of money on magical and scholarly efforts. This, of course, goes back to the Great Lighthouse, where they will fund magical theory, new ideas on farming, elementalist theory as far as helping crops and things like that, and just the ecology of creatures. If they find something new, study it, see what it does. You know, write it down, journal it, the whole thing. And, of course, the arts, because they are, of course, elves at heart, and so they really do appreciate all kinds of artistic pursuits.
And also, there is nothing that wealthy people love more than to show off how wealthy they are by spending the money on quote-unquote frivolous stuff. Now, as a creative, I don't think that stuff is actually frivolous.
No.
But the number of museums and concert mm-hmm. halls and
galleries
and stuff like that that robber barons funded to kind of improve their image
yeah.
here in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
it's a tale as old as time.
Oh, yes. Well, and there is a exchange of artists. The Lariscova have set up literally a cultural exchange with the Devanar Rennell from Bloodwood to exchange artists. And so some Devanar artists are currently residing in Shosara among the Lariscova patrons, and some Lariscova artists are residing in Bloodwood as a nice little trade-off there. Any thoughts?
And also another way that the Lariscova can start leveraging their desire to get hooks into residents and citizens of Bloodwood in order to help further their goal of
unseating
the queen.
Yeah. And not a bad way to do a spy network either. Just saying.
Although I imagine that the queen's agents probably keep a close eye on any of those Lariscova artists that are spending time in the wood.
What? The queen would do that?
Absolutely, she would.
I know. Josh's favorite garbage person. Anyway, so just some ideas on how to keep the Lariscova Rennell fresh in your mind. This is a close-knit, almost clannish group of people. And they have a deep and strong family loyalty because they travel together, they survive together, they were banished together. And so that kind of creates a close-knit mindset that's really hard to permeate and really hard to get someone to betray someone else in that mindset.
At the same token, they are not fossilized. They are not painfully insular or cutthroat the way that, say, the Denerastis, who are another like very close-knit family.
Yeah.
There are even sort of human members of the Lariscova Rennell that have kind of integrated and become part of that greater family over the course of years, especially the ones all spent together during the Scourge.
Yes.
Goes back to the earliest founding when the relationship that was being established between the Lariscova, the Shosaran elves, and mm-hmm. the humans of the area.
Exactly. So I was going to say, yes, they have incorporated some human noble members in the leadership of the Lariscova Rennell. So they're not fully elven, but predominantly. The main character of note, and I'm not sure if there weren't more characters because this is a new founding of Shosara, not as old as Bloodwood, Wyrmwood, or if it's due to space considerations, not entirely certain. Josh can answer that question. But the one main character to know about from this Rennell is the Grand Prince Berenice Lariscova, who is, of course, a sword master because you got to have some kind of adept in here. He's in his early 50s. He's got fairly aggressive policies towards espionage, diplomacy, and exploration. This is like a tri-pronged approach to politics. But this is all basically the espionage, the diplomacy, and the exploration is towards Oakheart's future home that he believes should be and will be in Shosara. So a rather interesting character.
Yeah, that's the biggest stumbling block and the biggest MacGuffin, for lack of a better term, when it comes to the political struggle between the Bloodwood, Shosara, and Sariatha.
Yeah.
Ultimately, elven culture derives from and has its authority come down, in a sense, from Oakheart. That is the tree that is in the heart of blood, what is currently Bloodwood. The fact that Oakheart is in sad shape because it's in the middle of the blasted heath and is clearly being affected by the corruption at the heart of the wood because of the ongoing blood magic rituals, that while there is a certain amount of political wrangling that is going on to try and get the elven diaspora on their side, the only way that any of them could actually secure that position as the new seat of elvendom is to have Oakheart.
Yeah.
Ideally, a new uncorrupted Oakheart, which is part of the reason why there's this search for the acorns of Oakheart that were gifted before the Scourge and therefore are
pure,
uncorrupted, and things like that.
Yeah. So, any further thoughts on the Lariscova? Anything we missed, didn't cover? Is there anybody else of note that just didn't make it into the book for space considerations?
I don't know about that. I mean, this was a book that was written 8 years ago. And I wasn't really involved in much of the writing of it at all. I wasn't even really involved in the layout of things at that point.
Gotcha.
In part because of the story of how this book came to be. I did not get particularly involved in the writing or development of it. But again, I think one of the things that going through this Shosaran material has done is remind me, one, how much I like Shosara and the way that it's been fleshed out here.
Agreed.
But it also provides additional hooks and ways to perhaps expand the way that blood elves can be brought into a campaign because of the political maneuverings that are going on. There is also going to be expeditions and things like that. We've talked about with some of the Bloodwood Rennells, how they fund expeditions to go out and recover artifacts. It's just something to keep in mind as a way of expanding Bloodwood's influence outside the wood, beyond the traditional, oh, they're insular and you never see them anywhere kind of narrative that a lot of people have in their heads.
Yeah. And I mean, Shosara is a nice open city. And like I said, I could see just a boxed campaign set for this whole thing, if Fossa was still doing those, like we said last time. But I also want to remind people, yes, it's mostly elven. Or predominantly elven. How's that? There's a plurality of elves there and humans. This is how most of it started. But there are the other races. There are dwarves. There's Tuskrang. There's going to be human. There's going to be orcs. You know, you name it. There's going to be some there. So don't think it's just elves and humans. Everybody shows up, and I can say en masse, but
yeah,
you know, they're all represented there.
Certainly the population percentages are different than they are in Barsave.
Yeah.
Which is a plurality of dwarves, with humans and orcs being sort of the next largest population groups. And that's not the case with Shosara.
Yeah. It's mostly elves, humans, and they kind of trickle down. You know, everything else kind of spreads out after that. So anyway, until next time, folks, go found a city from your divine vision for your legend.
Good night, everybody.